I'll put off everything I can and get back to you as soon as possible. Tomorrow sometime. Don't worry about me, Murph, I told her. And don't be too hard on yourself. If you hadn't gotten in Green's face and stayed here, a lot of people would be dead right now. A lot of people are dead right now, she said. What about our bad guy? I felt my mouth stretch into a sharp-edged, wolfish smile. He's entertaining unexpected guests. Is he going to survive them? I doubt it, I told her cheerfully. If one of those things had jumped me instead of vice versa, it would have taken me out. Three of them would fillet me. Murphy's attention was drawn to the door. Several men in wrinkled suits came in and stood around rubbernecking. Murphy straightened her clothing. What about collateral damage? I don't think it will be an issue. I'll track them and make sure. Murphy nodded. Rollins, she called. The veteran had been hovering not far away, feigning disinterest. She hooked a thumb up at me. Babysit for me? Shoot, Rollins drawled, like I got nothing better to do. Suffer, she told him, but she smiled when she said it. She put her hand on my arm and squeezed hard, letting out some of the pressure behind her calm facade through the contact. Then she strode over to the rubbernecking suits. Rollins watched her go, his lips pursed. That is one cast iron bitch, he said. His tone revealed a quiet respect. Cast iron. Hell of a cop, I said. Rollins grunted. Problem with cast iron, it's brittle. Hit it right, and it shatters. He looked around the foyer and shook his head. This isn't gonna go well for her. Huh? I said. Department's gonna crucify someone for it, Rollins said. They have to. I let out a bitter bark of laughter. After all, she probably saved a lot of lives tonight. No good deed goes unpunished, Rollins agreed. Green blinked blearily at us from his chair and then slurred. Rollins, what the hell are you doing down here? I sent you home. Anger gathered on his vague expression. You son of a bitch. You're defying a direct order. I'll have your ass on a platter. Rollins sighed. See what I mean? I lifted my hand with my thumb and the first two fingers extended, the others against my palm, and moved it in a vaguely mystical gesture from left to right. That isn't Rollins. Green blinked at me, and his eyes blurred in and out of focus. The distraction derailed the train of thought he'd been laboriously assembling. It wasn't magic. I've taken headshots before. It takes a while for your brain to start doing its job again, and the vaguest kinds of confusion make things into one big blur. I repeated the gesture. That isn't Rollins. You can go about your business. Move along. Green fumbled with a couple of words, then shook his head and closed his eyes, and went back to holding the towel against his head. Rollins arched an eyebrow. You ever handle any divorce negotiations? I jerked my head at Mouse and said, come on, before his brains unscramble. Rollins fell into pace beside me. Where are we going? I gave him the short version of what I'd done with the other three phages. So now I track them and make sure the guy who called them up is out of play. Demons, Rollins said. Wizards, he shook his head. Look, man, he held up a hand. No, I think about this too much and I won't be any good to you. Don't explain it. Don't talk about it. Let me get through tonight and you can blow my mind all you want. Cool, I told him. You got a car? Yup. Let's go. We went outside and down the street to the nearest parking garage. Rollins drove an old blue station wagon. A bumper sticker on the back read, My kid is too pretty to date your honor student. Mouse let out a sudden warning growl. An engine raced. The dog flung his weight at my thigh and sent me slamming up against Rollins's station wagon. A van rushed at me in my peripheral vision, too fast for me to try to avoid. It missed me by less than 6 inches. It didn't miss Mouse. There was a meaty sound. The dog let out a bawl of pain. Brakes screeched. I turned, furious and terrified, and the runes in my staff seethed with sudden hellfire. I had a split second to see Darby Crane swinging a tire iron. Then stars exploded in front of my eyes, and the parking garage rotated 90 degrees. I saw Mouse sprawled motionless on the concrete 30 feet away. Glau, Crane's lawyer, stood beside the open driver's door of the van, holding a gun on Rawlins. See what I mean about headshots? Fade to black.